Hard Place, a novel by R.A. Jacobson. Listener discretion is advised. Contains strong language, violence, and some adult situations.
Chapter 44, Sixth String Traitor. Back in his apartment, he plugged in the sixth string traitor, and of course, it played just fine. It sounded as if it had gained even greater depth of tone and crispness of articulation. He strummed through his songs and felt a wave of anger sweep through him. All these years of playing, practicing, performing, all the half-hearted applause and the thinly veiled scorn and pity, all the jokes and the name-calling flooded back to him. He held the guitar and his head dropped. Wasn't fair. It just wasn't fair. The anger that erupted from inside him was an explosion of pent-up violence. With a scream of impotent fury, he slammed the guitar to the floor. He stamped on it, hearing with satisfaction the splintering of wood. He kicked the heap of useless timber, then picked it up and flung it across the room. It slammed into the framed photo of his icon, Robert Johnson. It crashed to the floor, bits of glass and wood scattering everywhere. His chest heaved. His anger exhausted, feeling alone and empty, he fell into a chair and considered the wreckage. He had had enough. Tomorrow he would get rid of this piece of junk and be done with it for good. Who was he kidding anyway? He was no blues man, he was not from the South, and he was not Whitey Burnett. As he tied it up, a shard of glass pierced his index finger. He reached down and picked up the remains of the beaten guitar. A single bead of crimson blood dropped from his finger into the tangled guitar strings. A blinding flash and an arc of electricity sent John flying backward, careening into the wall and crumpling to the floor. Everything went dark. He woke confused with what remained of the guitar clutched in his arms. He placed the guitar on the floor and stood, pieces of glass falling from his back. In the bathroom, he washed his face and looked at himself in the mirror. What had happened? Bone-weary, he collapsed into bed and slept a hard, dreamless sleep.
Chapter 45. Jean gets a visit from the judge. Jean walked through the club. It was quiet and dark, the way he loved it, like his river. Tonight's group of passengers was downstairs and would be boarded by now, but they would wait for him. Most would be happy to stay on the boat for as long as possible, never in a hurry, afraid of what waited on the other shore. The fear of the unknown still terrified many of them, just as it had when they were alive. Occasionally, a passenger would get worked up, panicked, and run. Usually when they landed on the other shore and were disembarking. John could recognize the look of despair in their eyes. He had seen it many times. Fascinated, he'd watch for the moment they decided. Then they'd bolt, their tracks chasing him down the pristine black sand. 20 paces, and they'd stop. Nevermore. They'd stand and look around the sand, at the black river, at the far-off mountains, and then they'd walk back. Jean could only guess what went through their minds in those moments. What was it like to stand on the bank of Death's River and understand life was over? What was it like to know there was nothing more, that the worst thing that could happen had? He crossed the room and surveyed the room with its tables lined up neatly. The new bartender came from the fridge carrying a case of beer. It was challenging to keep staff. Jean hoped this one was going to work out, but he doubted it. He had been at this for a long time and could tell when someone had a temperament to work in his club. The atmosphere got to some people quickly. Usually after several groups of passengers passed through, they stopped showing up. They could sense the closeness of death. Very few people like being reminded of their mortality. Upstairs, Jean froze, hand on the doorknob of his office. In the dark, a stranger sat in his chair, feet on his desk. Who the fuck are you and how did you get in here? The strangeness of the meeting with Mr. White gnawed at the back of his mind, making him edgy and angry.
Jean, relax. I'm just here to talk.
I don't know who the hell you are or think you are, but don't tell me to relax. I want you out of here.
I'll be quick, but we are going to talk. The judge briefly showed Jean his hellish visage. I would have preferred not to do that, but... Okay, do you need a drink?
Jean swayed, staggered back.
No, I'm fine. I didn't recognize you.
Of course you didn't, Jean. No problem at all. So let's talk.
Yes, okay.
I'm here to check on one of your singers. It seems that there's an issue with her contract.
Her contract? You mean Mary Lou?
Yes, but you seem to know all about it. It's all a bit unsettling. There seems to be a discrepancy, a point of confusion with her deal.
A tall man in a dark suit with a fedora stood behind the judge.
Good afternoon, sir. My name is Mr. April.
Sir, I have the contract here. It seems to be all in order.
If it was all in order, there wouldn't be an issue, would there?
Mr. April, your services are no longer required.
Mr. April crumpled, disappearing into a cloud of black flies.
Now let's talk about Mary Lou, the judge said. How is it you're so well informed?
I had a conversation about her just yesterday with Mr. White.
Sooner than I thought, but not unexpected. He feels he has a claim on her as well.
He said his precedes yours, Jean said.
Well, as I said, there are some issues with her contract. She did slip briefly into his realm. However, it was after she signed with me, so he's mistaken.
Why is Mary Lou important?
Oh, Mary Lou's a sweet woman with a lovely voice. However, the issue has nothing to do with her. It's a question of authority.
Authority?
It's a pissing contest, one I need to win. You see, I need Mr. White's assistance, his unwitting assistance.
Chapter 46. The Sound of Breathing. He woke curled up on his side, with the sound of breathing beside him. He listened, trying to identify who or what it might be. When he turned to look, he was mildly surprised to find he was alone in his bed. He called in sick, groaning as he dialed, realizing that this was the second day he had missed. Coffee in hand, he shuffled to the front room. He glanced down at the guitar, not remembering picking it up. It was in one piece. He thought back to the night before. He had utterly destroyed it. He examined the dark wooden body. It was undamaged. It felt comfortable in his hand, as if someone had handcrafted it for him. He stroked the neck and felt the scars. A history in the heartwood. Marveling at the beauty of the surface, it seemed in even better shape than he recalled. It looked to have been polished. Even the strings shone. Had he restrung it? Confused, he plugged it in. Paused briefly, then strummed a chord. It played perfectly, with a rich tone and a deep voice of wisdom and compassion. He thought of the previous night, how it was to have been the moment, the crossroads of his life, his passage from mundane to special, ordinary to chosen, but it hadn't turned out that way. Out of habit, he moved to play the first of his two songs, the same ones he'd played for years, to little effect. He sat, pick poised above the strings, yet nothing came to him. He searched, puzzled, through his mind for the beginning note, placed his pick on the A string, but nothing came to him. He had forgotten his songs.
7. Mr. June and Mr. September talk.
Mr. June and Mr. September stood and watched as Clyde drove away, Jacob at the wheel.
There are so many discrepancies here, Mr. September.
You're very right, Mr. June. There are no flies on you.
And no flies on you, Mr. September.
With a chuckle, they smiled at each other.
Not one of these contracts is properly ratified, and almost none have a standard 666 clause.
There can be no non-ratified contracts, Mr. September.
No, there certainly cannot.
Should we call head office?
Old Tom will not be pleased with this development.
Indeed, he will not.
Of course, you know what this means, Mr. June.
Yes, Mr. September, a complete audit. The ledger must balance.
We will have to stay longer, Mr. June.
Yes, I do believe you're correct.
I'm sure head office will approve an additional expenditure, Mr. September.
I agree.
The 36 Ford rocked slightly as they climbed in and sat, staring forward. After a few moments, the forest around them came alive. Creatures of all descriptions walked out of the surrounding trees. Deers, rabbits, raccoons, coyotes, squirrels walked as if answering a summons. A rabbit stood calmly beside a coyote, showing no terror at being next to the predator, just as a coyote showed no interest in the creature that was prey. They stood close to the black car, quietly sitting shoulder to shoulder, enthralled by the two men. The interior of the car exploded with a blinding light. Beams of dazzling white radiated out and filled the world, and just as quickly vanished, leaving behind a strong smell of ozone. As if they had laid down to sleep in the deep grass, all around the vehicle were several dozen dead animals.
Chapter 48. His fingers bled. He chuckled at his forgetfulness. John had played those same songs 1,000 times, and yet he could not drag them forward. He tried again and strummed his favorite chord, but it led nowhere. There was no second chord. There was, however, something else. A note. As he frowned and strummed, he became aware of the note. It rang in his brain. Quiet at first, but becoming increasingly insistent. He found the note, and immediately another note demanded its moment. Within minutes, he was playing a song, a new song, a song he'd never heard before. His fingers played as if they had heard it. Stumbling at first, then with increasing smoothness, he played a song of such power and beauty it scared him. It was wondrous. It wove around him, wrapping him in sadness and loneliness until his soul ignited in pain. And then the words came. They fell from his mouth, tumbling out, laced together with the music and its sorrow and loss, like nothing he'd ever heard before. The entire day he played one song, tears running down his cheeks. His fingers became sore, then painful until he split and tore, but he played on, harder and better than he'd ever had. His voice became rough and raw. It was midnight when he put the guitar down and stumbled to bed. With his fingers bleeding, he wiped his eyes, mixing blood with his tears. Then with a sigh, he fell deeply asleep. What would you give up? Anything.
Chapter 49. Yes, you will sing. Jean sat at his desk, stared into the dark, and thought about his visitors. Not once in all his years had he had a visit from Old Tom,
and Mr. White over the same contract. His boat had kept ferrying. That was the only reason for his existence. This dispute was threatening his duty and could keep the boat moored. There was more to all this than was on the surface. He could feel it, an underlying secret that fueled everything. But where could he turn to sort it out? All he had was a feeling, and Mr. White had no time for emotions. If not Mr. White, then who? He had dealt with old Tom on several occasions in the past, but he would not even know how to approach him. And there was something different with him besides his new nickname, the Judge. As names go, it wasn't bad. Old Tom had a lot of names, but there was something not right with the Judge and his deals. The more he thought about it, the more things felt wrong. He needed to speak to somebody who had connections in both worlds. There was only one man he could think of who may know what was going on. Downstairs, Mary Lou had finished a rehearsal and was talking with her guitarist when Jean approached. The guitarist smiled and headed to the back room. Mary Lou, come with me. Okay, what's up, Jean? I need to talk to you. I had a visitor. A visitor? Actually, two visitors. They both said they had a claim on you, a contract. A contract? Who were they? Jean looked concerned. Come with me. I need some advice. Together they walked backstage to the door that led to the alley. A large man dressed in chef whites sat in a wooden box leaning against the brick wall, a cigarette pinched between his forefinger and thumb. In his right hand, he held a wooden cane carved with runes. As Mary Lou looked, the symbol seemed to move in an unsettling way.
Don't be bothering me. I'm on my break, Mr. Marissa said through a cloud of smoke. What does you want, John? The boat's loaded.
His anger flared in his milky eyes.
Why'd you bring this child here? She stands half in shadow. Her passage has already been paid.
Mr. Marissa, I need a bit of advice. Wait, already paid? Oh, yes. I spoke to a very pale man about her.
A rider?
Yes.
Shit, man. I don't want no visit from Mr. White, at least not yet. What do you need from me?
Old Tom says her contract is unfulfilled.
Wait a fucking minute. You talking to Old Tom and Mr. White?
It's been a hell of a couple of days, Jean shook his head. May I ask what's going on? Mary Lou looked from one man to the other.
Missy, you got two claims against you. One from Old Tom and one from a pale man. If there's anyone stuck between a rock and a hard place, it's you. Shit, girl, you're more fucked than anyone I've ever met.
Mr. Marissa puffed hard on his smoke. Something else. Old Tom's calling himself the Judge.
The Judge? That's a new one.
Mr. Marissa turned his face to the cane in his hand. He twirled it as if studying the carved shapes. They seemed to crawl and writhe. Mary Lou saw and looked away. Mr. Marissa, I'm not sure what you know or think you know, but if you have anything to tell me, I would be obliging to you. Mary Lou said. You gotta figure this. Things have been shifting west of here that's made everything a bit, well, challenging. Some cat named Jacob made a deal with the Judge that wasn't quite what it seemed, and now it's all gone sideways, and with the pale man involved. Well, I gotta be sure, John said.
Jacob?
Mary Lou asked.
You know him?
After a pause, she said. No.
Dark days, man. Very dark indeed. Time be feeling a lot like when Robert played that cursed guitar and broke the world. And I don't rightly think it ever got itself fixed. Been feeling something similar like whispers in the dark about old Tom. Had a dream about old Tom, had a new face that weren't his. Now you show up with this child and tells me the Pale Rider walks with us? And oh yeah, old Tom's been here sporting a new name. It's feeling very shaky. Very shaky. And a day's shaky. Know what I mean? I don't think your boat's going to be big enough.
I'm sorry, sir. I don't know what you're saying.
I know that things aren't right, but what's really going on? I just want to sing.
Mary Lou stared at the two men who looked back at her.
Sing, you say? Yes, you'll be singing, but maybe not the song you thought, maybe.
Mr. Marissa's blank eyes regarded her.
Stories from a Hard Place is a narrative podcast. Every Tuesday and Thursday, R.A. Jacobson presents another chapter from Hard Place, read by the author. Opening music by Noah Zacharin. Production copyright by R.A. Jacobson, 2022. If you'd like to support Stories from a Hard Place, please go to patreon.com/hardplace. If you would like a book version, either ebook or print, you can find it anywhere books are sold, including your local library. You can find links to all these and much more at Dead Cat Studio. That's deadcatstud.io. Thanks for listening. Keep the shiny side up.